And Kathy Dawes-Now, along with Riley County Extension Agriculture Agent Greg McClure. Welcome you today, Greg. All kinds of things to talk about. And I know we do want to talk about summer tour and some of the different events. Why don't we lead off, though, with all the changes at the Extension office? I was out of town last week and came back to find this announcement that things have changed up a little bit over there staffing-wise.
Yeah, things just happened all of a sudden. No, we knew this was coming. So the first one, Jennifer Wilson started her sabbatical leave on Monday of this week. And so she will be gone, well, she started August 14th, she'll be gone through mid-January. So she'll be at the university working on some projects over there. I think one of her projects, you know, I didn't ask much, I just knew that she was leaving work with us, but I think one of her projects is to work on the extension agent evaluation process, and I don't know what else she's working on, but you know, that's one of those things you get to do when you kind of work for K-State is take a break and go do some other things. I think it'll be good. Should be good for her, bring her back refreshed. I keep telling her that, well, I'm going to take next year off, but we'll see how that works out. She will return for a few days. I think that's in October. She's going to do some of the Medicare work that she always does at that time, so the education and then some of the decision-making on, I think that's drug plans that she usually works on when she does those things. So she'll be back for a few days, I think, in October, and then we won't see much of her until mid-January.
Okay.
Although we say that, but, boy, I've gotten a lot of emails from her the last, every day. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, Jenny Bernard, I had not necessarily expected that one. But
so, yeah, the next one. So Jennifer's gone for a while. Jenny announced her resignation effective the 25th of August. So that would be the end of next week. Jenny's husband took a job, and we've known this for a while. It just hasn't been real public knowledge, but he took a job in Eudora. So he'll be teaching and coaching in Eudora. And so she's going to go to be with the family. As far as I know, I haven't talked to Jenny this week, but as far as I know, she hasn't accepted a job yet. So, you know, if you got anybody out there that needs a really, really good employee in the Douglas County area, well, I can hook you up. You know, I can give you her cell phone number. I can, I think I can find her daughter's cell phone number through my son, actually, probably. They're pretty good friends and still in contact. So Jenny's gone. So then the other change, so to kind of fill in while Jenny is gone, we've hired Julia Lambert, actually Julia Satzler for the locals that know what her name was before she got married. She's hired part-time. She's kind of been working in our office off and on for 4 years. So she did a kind of an internship with Jenny when she was a senior in high school. And so that must make her somewhere around a junior in college or something like that at this point. So she's part-time in our office, part-time student. And I think Julia will fill in real well, taking care of many of the coalition-type things that Jenny's been doing, and then fill in the family and consumer sciences work that Jenny's already got lined up. So that's what's happening in our office. In the meantime, the rest of us are still here. So I'm the ag agent. Greg Eystone is doing horticulture work and has been here for several years. John Job, 4-H agent. So the three of us have kind of split up the administrative duties. And so what I'm telling people, I told you, Kathy, in an email the other day, that anytime you think the boss isn't doing anything, the boss ought to leave the work with you. And you can find out that you get to do their work and yours too. And it's like, yeah. It's okay. Yeah, they were working. It's nice to know. Now come on back.
A lot of things they do that you may not even realize. I know what you're talking about. Well, let's get to some of your events. I know you do want to highlight your big summer tour. That's always a big deal, and that's just really around the corner.
That is just around the corner. That's, a week from this coming Sunday. So Sunday, August 27, Riley County Livestock Association summer tour. We do this every year. I think I've told you before, you know, when I came here, it was a fall tour, but I realized that the fall tour was happening in summer, so I renamed it. It's always been the last Sunday in August, which is summer. So August 27, 5 p.m., this year's tour will be at Shannon Creek Lamb. Now, that's Joseph Hubbard's new sheep operation close to Olsburg. I think it'll be really interesting. It's a little outside the box for our livestock association because the real majority of our livestock association members are cattle people. And so maybe to help attract them, Joseph has offered to give us a tour of their beef cattle rotational grazing system as well. So the operation is a new confinement sheep operation. So instead of buying land, which is, you know, hard to come by and an awful lot of money. He's chosen to put his money into some buildings, and he'll haul the feed in. And, you know, I haven't seen the operation. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I think it'll be an interesting deal. I think it's mostly hair sheep. And, again, I'm not real sure of that either. You know, this is going to be a tour that I'm learning on as well as everybody else. But, again, Sunday, August 27, 5 p.m., we need reservations for that. And you can make those online at www.riley.ksu.edu. By about next Wednesday. So we need that. That's going to be a free meal, burgers, chips, Cold Hall ice cream, but we don't feed you if you don't tell us you're coming. That's kind of the way that works. So we need to count so we know who's going to be there.
Very good. Some other topics that you wanted to cover today, and I'm going to show my ignorance here because I don't know how to say this word. Is it dicamba drift?
Dicamba drift.
All right.
Actually, the topic that I probably would like to avoid. For those that use trade names, it used to always be Banville. Now, there's a whole bunch of different names for dicamba, and it's not Banville in this case. So what we've got going on in soybean fields this year, so there's new technology that has a dicamba resistance when soybeans. So very much like we have Roundup resistance in soybeans and corn. So we can go in and we can spray over the top with dicamba, and it won't kill the soybeans. Those are the ones that have that trait. So the problem is that there are lots of beans out there that don't have that trait. The new formulation of dicamba that is supposed to not drift so much, well, apparently it's drifting or volatilizing or something. And so there's a lot of cupped beans, lots of curling going on out there. We don't know what the actual yield damage will be. It depends really on when it got hit. If it got hit real early, you know, there may not be, you know, before, while it was still vegetative. If it got hit after it was flowering, well, the yield loss could be more significant. If it did enough damage that it killed the growing point, could be real significant. The problem is, you know, what do you do? You know, we won't really know till it's all harvested. You know, who do you go after? I think is maybe the question. Probably they're going to go after the company that said it would work, but some people might go after their neighbor. Not going to be a good deal. You know, I don't want to be in the middle of those things. That's why I say, yeah, I put it on here because it's happening, but do I really want to talk about it? I don't know. You know, I'm one of those that, you know, I'm not anxious to come out and be the guy that looks at it. And even what I would suggest is, you know, if you've got fields that are damaged, go ahead and document it. Take some pictures. I think you might want that later on. But
okay.
Otherwise, you know, it's out there. We'll see at harvest time kind of how things turn out. There's opportunities to report to Pesticide Division, Department of Ag, if it's a complaint that needs to be reported, and we can hook people up with that. But I think the first step is talk to your neighbor, maybe talk to the applicator, and, you know, see what works out.
Moving on to wheat. Wheat planting, some suggestions.
Well, and you know, we talk about this one every year. You're probably tired of hearing it, but it's the old, you know, be a good neighbor, control your volunteer wheat. Because if we don't, we may be harboring curl mites that carry the wheat streak mosaic virus. So this year, there's really a bigger push from across the state and from the wheat-producing groups because there was a real problem with wheat streak mosaic, mostly further west in western Kansas. And again, somebody didn't control their volunteer wheat. It happened to be a good year for curl mites and for the virus, and it spread and really did a lot of damage. You know, it's easy enough on fields that are close to an infested field to see maybe 25% damage. Sometimes the damage is a whole lot worse right by the edge and doesn't go out as far. So the way this works is that the curl mites feed on the or suck on the infected plants, and then they blow in the wind to another field. And then when they feed on those plants, they inject the virus into the plants. So in order to stop that, what we need to do is to kill the volunteer wheat at least, we want it completely dead, at least 2 weeks before planting. And so with dead plants, then we end up with dead curl mites and kind of stop the cycle. So that's what we're after in trying to encourage farmers to control their volunteer wheat. You know, even though that may look like it's going to be great, easy, cheap feed to put cows on in the fall, if your neighbor's planting wheat nearby, and I'd say, you know, within a quarter mile, maybe within a half mile, you really need to be a good neighbor and control that volunteer wheat and find something else to graze.
You just jogged my memory. Mm-hmm. I think K-State's BRI has been doing some research when it comes to some of these things, and when it comes to wheat streak mosaic. I'm pretty sure they're working on that.
They're working on the genetics for that, and they're working on all kinds of things that are kind of beyond me. And when they actually come out, then we'll start using them. It's kind of the way I flow.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks.
Anything else today, Greg, or will that do it?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Greg McClure with us today, Riley County Extension Agriculture Agent. We'll take a break, and when we come back, Riley County Senior Service Center Director Jamie Ramsey will be joining us, and you're listening to In Focus.